Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
When you read about the spread of the gospel, especially in the book of Acts, and you get it in the epistles as well that would be written by Paul and Peter and others, you find out God uses individuals in a great way. And many times you find them as being an individual, a man, and sometimes like a woman, Phoebe, leaving Corinth and going to Rome. But we find one couple that's in the New Testament that God used greatly again and again, and that's Priscilla and Aquila. Some people call Aquila. But yes, God using couples, and then also families. And so Nathan and I want to talk a little bit about that today. Nathan, you know what it is to take your family to a strange place and set up and start ministering in the name of the Lord. It's not an easy task, is it?
No, it's not easy. Nothing really that God calls us to do and puts a burden on our heart to obey Him for and fulfill Him is easy, but it's a good thing and it's a blessing, and it's wonderful when you can, if you have a family, if God's given you a family and blessed you that way, to serve Him together as a family is a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's hard to describe if you haven't experienced that before. But it's also a fearful thing on the front end, especially when you have to think about moving your whole family into a place, a new place, maybe a difficult, possibly sometimes dangerous places that God might call. And it's a little fearful on that front end of that when you're having those prayers and those conversations and those thoughts. If you're a single person, I'll speak for myself as a man. By myself, yeah, you could put me anywhere. Just drop me somewhere in the world, and I feel like I could make it if I had to. It might be tough, but I'll be okay. Put me there with my wife and my children, it's a whole different story. So there's a lot of things that families have to work through as they fulfill and obey God's call in their life.
When we think about this, has to work together, husband and wife. We know couples that one felt called and impressed to go immediately, the other one reluctant. And through the period of ministering and time, the other one says, "Yes, I'm not just willing to go, I'm ready to go." And those are difficult times for two people to coincide together and agree together. It's hard to do that, serving in a church locally or doing a mission trip. But to do this and be in a career, it's an amazing thing how God works and places and puts people together, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting dynamic for, let's just say, a couple, a husband and wife, to work through that calling, to be on the same page. I've seen it both ways. I've seen where the husband feels called and the wife does not at the time. I've seen it vice versa. You throw children into the mix, maybe the husband and the wife are eager and ready and willing to go, and the children are at an age and stage in their lives where if they're not 100% sure of the calling on their family, then it could throw a wrench into the works. And so I've seen it all, where even families get to the field and within a few short weeks have to turn around and come home, even because the children have not adjusted and weren't fully on board to begin with. It's a difficult thing. I don't have any easy answers toward that, other than, number one, we need to be praying. The church should pray for those that are facing a call cross-culturally as a family. And then we need to learn how to support family members, children, spouses, people that are willing to go and serve. And even when they come back home for a visit, it's a crucial and critical thing for the church to really do good pastoral care for families. It starts with prayer. We need to pray for God to use families, because he can really use families in a wonderful, dynamic way on the mission field.
With Priscilla and Aquila, it seems like sometimes both of these were gifted in so many ways. And so God is able to use the gifts. And I think that's what Nathan and I are talking about, the man and the woman and the children, and using their gifts, using their personalities to reach others that if it was just the one, they would not reach. So God is able to do this. Real quickly, Nathan, would you say be ready to go if God calls?
Yeah, absolutely. We should be ready, willing to serve the Lord wherever he asks us to go, whatever he asks us to do. But if you're a part of a family, it's something that can't be rushed into. God can take those struggles and those fears and those worries on the front end and turn them into fruit on the back end using your family. God loves to see families not just come together in love, but also in service to him somewhere in the world for his glory.
And so we want you to be ready to go. It would be awesome, like Nathan said, cross culture, different country, but be ready for God to use you, your spouse, your family for his glory, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the world. We're praying that you'll enjoy this interview as God called this couple to a difficult task, but they said, here we are, send us. This is Exploring Missions, and we're so glad you could hear today, and we're praying that God would just, I would say, impress upon you the importance of sharing Jesus Christ. Our guests today are returning. They were with us last week, and they agreed to stay on, but we're adding the female part of this team for African Inland Mission. And we're so thankful that they would stay and have this interview and get a little bit different perspective. Perspective really adds a lot to it, how someone sees it and how someone else sees it. And my household, my wife and I can watch the same thing, but it's amazing what she notices and what I, let me just say it, don't notice. And so the perspective will be helpful today. Our guest is Colin McDougall and his wife, Becca. Becca, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And we do appreciate your willingness to share in this time. You're sharing in the ministry, and you should share in the, I would say, the need for prayer for African Inland Mission. So thank you again for being with us. Colin, thank you for returning. Tell us a little bit, for those that did not hear last week, a little bit about African Inland Mission.
We're called Africa Inland Mission because the inland part, our desire 130 years ago that we would get to those parts of Africa that had not yet been reached with the gospel. And now 130 years later, we're still trying to get to those places that do not have a reproducing indigenous Christ-centered church. Those are the places where we're going. That's our inland.
And you have a website. Make sure everybody hears it.
Sure. AIM International's website is aimint.org.
Okay. We appreciate that. So you can go online and find out about it and know more about it. Know prayer needs, the possibility of your working, the possibility of your support. They're ministering and making a difference there in Africa. And we appreciate that so much. Well, Becca, last week we heard a lot of about the call that you guys had to go to Africa and to difficult places. Was it just your husband's call, or did you sense that calling as well?
You know, I came to know the Lord when I was a very young child, and my parents were missionaries in Latin America. And when I was about 12 years old, somebody gave me Elizabeth Elliot's book called Through Gates of Splendor, in which there's a description of some missionaries who were martyred in South America. And I remember praying and saying, Lord, I'm willing. I want to be that devoted to you. I want to be as devoted to you as Jim Elliot was. So I really prayed that prayer of dedication of my life. And I said to the Lord, I will do whatever you ask me, and I'll go wherever you send me, even if you send me to deepest, darkest Africa, which was about the most far-fetched idea I could even imagine.
I want to interrupt and say, I think every kid in that age group, mine and yours as well. That was the thought. If we go, where will you send us? Deepest, darkest Africa. I've heard, yes.
The craziest, you know, most remote possibility. And I didn't even remember that I had prayed that prayer until later when we were actually in Africa. And I thought, oh, the Lord answered my prayer. Look at that. Here I am, deepest, darkest Africa.
Yeah. Okay, so you and your husband, he shared with us last week, you went a year and a half in a mission that already started while that missionary couple was on furlough in America, and you went, and that did not scare you away.
Well, you know, we were very in love. We were very in love. And we had what I think of as a missionary call, which is holy appetite mixed with holy terror.
Yes.
And I thought, I just have to do this one day at a time, and the Lord will be with me in every bit of it. And he was. He certainly was. Even when we lost a baby to miscarriage during that year, we had many difficulties. We had many dangers, toils, and snares. We learned lots and lots of things. I like to tell people it was baptism by fire. But lo and behold, we went back.
Let me just share this. It's true with everything. You better have that little bit of caution, fear, terror in some cases. There was a preacher that I went to his preaching school. A lot of people there, I'm not going to tell his name, but after he's through helping pastors to open the Word of God, and someone asked him, said, well, you, after all these years, do you still get butterflies in your stomach when you preach? He said, yes, but at least now they fly in formation. I will never forget that, because that's exactly true. So knowing God wants you, but at the same time, knowing the possibilities, I think it's biblical, isn't it, Colin? Jesus said, count the cost before a king goes to war, before you start building a building. You look and see. Doesn't mean you're not supposed to go. It means you're to go, but you go with realism, don't you?
We certainly do. We've lived through tribal warfare. We've lived through famines. Those things are going to hit you. And, of course, the turmoil that just comes from being involved in religious conflict, a spiritual conflict.
It really is a spiritual conflict, isn't it? We wrestle not against flesh and blood.
That's right. We're bringing a gospel that Satan hates. He fights against us. He doesn't fight fair, and sometimes he fights against our wife and children.
Well, let me ask you this, and this is getting pretty deep. We know about other religions. It's always difficult and hard, the issue of warfare. But honestly, it is that issue of demonic oppression and demonic activity trying to subvert the gospel of Jesus Christ. Does Satan have anything that he will not do to try to keep people from Christ?
I believe that he often attacks us through our family, and that many people who are coming to Christ out of Islam suffer those kind of conflicts more than you and I probably can even imagine.
I've heard of it, and I know of it. It happens, doesn't it?
In the most recent people group that Rebecca and I lived among in Tanzania, we're trying to bring the gospel to a completely Muslim people group. The first believers, the first men who came to faith in Christ, received that kind of affliction that their wife's family takes the children away, takes the wife away, because the husband has professed faith in Christ and been baptized. You and I probably just don't know that kind of pain and conflict.
We know of some. But the reality is there's a lot more, isn't there?
Yes.
So many, but they're willing because Jesus Christ has come into their life. Becca, going back to you, what was the most difficult thing for you to leave to go? That may be difficult and hard. I'll keep on talking to let you think about it. But reason, you've got to leave before you go. In marriage, God said it, leave father and mother and cleave unto your own, your husband. When it comes to missions in a foreign country, even sometimes here in America, going to a difficult location, you're leaving. What was it?
You know, missionaries, I'm sure we were not different than other missionaries. The hardest thing to leave is your family.
Okay.
Of course it is. And you miss all the special occasions when you have Christmas on the field without your family, when you have Thanksgiving, and in that country, they're not celebrating Thanksgiving, when you have your brother's graduating from college, but you can't go back for the graduation, or whatever it is. It's always those family things that are the most difficult. Yeah.
Okay, here's another follow-up with that. With that in mind, and there's people out there that are struggling with God's call in their life, they feel like God is at work in their life. Is it worth it?
Well, sure it is. Of course it is. Yeah, the Lord Jesus Christ said there's nobody that leaves father or mother or children or farms or whatever for my sake and for the gospel's sake that doesn't receive 100 times as much in this life, and also many troubles, many persecutions, but those are very short-lived. This life is short, eternity is long, and if our families know the Lord, we're going to be forever with them in heaven. We're going to tell all those stories again and again and again. They will not miss anything good, and neither will we.
Okay. With the people that you meet on the mission field.
Yes.
I know they don't, quote, take the place of family, but do they become family?
Yes, they do. My children had dozens of uncles and aunts. They didn't realize those weren't real uncles and aunts until they grew up a little bit. They called Uncle so-and-so and Aunt so-and-so. Yes, the family of God is very wide, and you begin, my children all have friends that they feel as close to as their real family who are from other cultures and other tribes, because they've begun to realize my real family is my family in Christ, and it's very wide and it's very big.
So here is God, and I call it the principle of replacement. He replaces darkness with light. He replaces death with life. You catch what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I'm not saying your family is completely replaced, but he adds to. Is that, would you say that would be correct?
Correct.
Okay.
That's yes,
correct.
And we could say he actually grows our heart so that we don't love our family less, but we're just loving more and more people at a greater depth, I think.
Well, I use this in the pulpit all the time. God gave us 3 sons. Nathan, the one that helps host this program, I thought, wow, I cannot love a child more than him. And then God gave us Matthew, and guess what? We loved Matthew as much as we did Nathan, but it did not diminish our love for Nathan. And
that's
when
right.
Micah
exactly.
came along, same thing happened.
Yes.
Isn't
that's
that amazing? Love, the capacity of love. Does love, is that one of the things that drives you? I know your obedience to the Lord. I mean, I know that. But your love for him and his love that he puts in you for others, is that one of the driving forces of becoming a missionary?
I think so. That's what Paul says about missionary motivation, in that it's the love of Christ that compels us. Since we consider this, one died for all, that means all were dead.
Wow. You guys are now, tell us your position with African Inland Mission. What's your position?
I'm the U.S. director. I'm the director of AIM's ministry in this country. And Rebecca is the team leader for all the work that AIM is doing among African immigrants in Atlanta. So this is a new team. She's actually still a missionary pioneer, but now a pioneer in our new city in the United States.
Atlanta is varied, isn't it? I mean, we were talking about Clarkston, where Nathan served, 120 nationalities within a square mile.
Yes.
Atlanta is a global city, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And a lot of them are from Africa, coming this way?
They are. Mm-hmm.
Well,
and
tell,
from many different nations.
Would you tell us just a little bit about your work there?
One of the main ways that I get to meet immigrants is through teaching English as a second language. And when we have those classes, we get to meet those students. One thing that I do, I get to teach level 3, which means they have a little bit more English. We do grammar the first hour, and the second hour, we read through the Gospel of John in English together. And from the beginning of the year till the end of the year, by the end of the year, they're expressing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And for those who are brand new, I've had 100% raise their hands and say they've never read the Gospel of John before.
Wow. Is that the place to start?
It's on
the mission field.
Pretty effective.
Very effective.
I mean, when they print the gospel, the first one they do is John. Mm. Why?
Well, in John, the John was written specifically so that you could know the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's what he says at the end, isn't it?
That's
what he says. Mm-hmm. He does. And I'm reverting back to Exploring the Word, the other program mm-hmm. that I do. But those conversations that he has in the Gospel of John covers just about every conversation you'll have with somebody that needs to come to Christ.
And what we discover, Brother Bert, is that people hearing and reading this Gospel of John, it's the biography of Jesus written by his best friend, and they come to love Jesus even before they get to the place of putting their faith in him.
That's an amazing story. Now, if someone wants to pray for African Inland Mission, tell us three areas to pray for. Becca, give us one, and then we'll come to Colin. We'll let both of you have a chance. When you say, we're praying for, they get on your website, you may have those prayer needs there. But if they could pray for African Inland Mission, what would you say?
Well, if I could just be a little more specific and say, pray for our team. Here is the prayer that our team has been praying together with a group of others for a year. We are praying, Lord, lead us to those people whose hearts are hungry for Christ and give us divine appointments with them and allow us to develop friendships with them so we can do one-on-one discipleship with these people. And through that, their families could come to know Jesus. And through their families, they could take that gospel to their people group. So if people would pray that prayer with us, that would be awesome.
I can't help but go to the book of Acts again and again and again when I do these interviews about how you operate. Let me just say, nothing has changed when it
yes.
comes to the gold and how to do it. Paul, Philippian jailer, his whole household, and then they reached others, and it's still that way today. Amen. Colin, prayer request.
I'd give two, and the more general one is the one that Jesus taught us to pray. When we see that the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few, we should pray the Lord of the harvest, Father, send out more workers. And I'd love to see more missionaries going out from the United States.
10:38. I know some people that pray 38 minutes after 10, they pray. And if they stay up late, that gives them two times during the day, the morning and the evening, that they pray. I just thought I'd throw that in for those that are prayer warriors. Mark that down.
Yes. And then a more specific prayer request is for the Republic of Chad. I've been asking people to pray that our American missionaries would be able to continue to get their work permits in Chad. Just now, we're facing tension in the whole world. Immigration is getting more difficult. Governments are cracking down on immigration. But American missionaries to Chad, if there was a specific prayer request, there are 40 unreached people groups that we are targeting in Chad. We just love to be able to bring the gospel into these places. And we're praying that our missionaries will be able to continue to get work permits.
At least two more things in this interview I want to make sure and then try to give you opportunity to say, this is what I'd really like you to remember. If people are interested in helping with the ministry, financial, that we've talked about the prayers, but financial, can they find help there on your website?
Oh, yeah. If you get to the website, you'll be able to look at each of our missionaries and the projects and be able to determine where you feel that the Lord is calling you to give.
The other thing would be, if we have somebody out there, they may be like the McDougals, mm-hmm. church plant, but I have this calling from God, and it may be through reading The Gates of Splendor. Let me just throw this in. If you've never read Through the Gates of Splendor, you're missing out on what I would grab your heart for the possibility of you being a missionary, but also to pray for missionaries. What a story that is. And there's a film about that as well. And it's awesome as well. I'm just throwing that out for free, those that can do that. But again, if there's someone that's feeling like, okay, I'm interested in becoming a missionary, and the inland part of Africa, God has that place on my heart, could they go to AIM and find out information?
They certainly could. They could find out information about how to go as a missionary. I'd also encourage, if someone is feeling this, that they would go on that website and click the pray button and just begin to pray for the requests that our missionaries are bringing. As you begin to ask God to do His work among unreached people, He'll draw you. He gets hold of your heart, and the best way to do that is by prayer.
So God wants us to be willing no matter what.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Is that right, Becca? God wants us to be willing no matter what, even to the deepest, darkest part of Africa.
Yes. Right?
So what we say, Lord, I am willing.
Yes.
We don't say, here am I, send Jeremiah. We say, here am I, send me. The last thing you'd like folks to remember about Africa Inland Mission, Colin, would you share it with us?
Well, and I might, instead of focusing on Africa Inland Mission, I might go back to that prayer request that Jesus taught His disciples to pray. The first one, even before He taught them the Lord's Prayer, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. You recognize that the ones who began praying were the ones that He sent. They were the ones who became the apostles. They were the ones who became the first missionaries. I encourage anybody who's interested in missions and the gospel getting to all every nation to begin asking God to do that. If we pray it, He'll give us the opportunities to act.
In closing, I want to remind people, Ethiopian eunuch came to Jerusalem, but he went back. But before he went back, he had the book of Isaiah, and there was Philip to tell him more about Jesus. Aren't you glad there's people there to tell people about the Lord Jesus? That's what I hear about African Inland Mission. They're there to tell the people about Jesus. The other, the Apostle Matthew. You know, those apostles that you were talking about,
yes,
they went everywhere. Now, some of them, we think we know where they went. With Thomas, we know he went to India. We know Matthew went to Africa. What a heritage we have as followers of Jesus Christ. If you read the Bible, don't you need to read it missionally? Don't read it just so, okay, this is how we should live. Yeah, it is like that. But when you read it, the heart of the Bible is missions, is it not?
Well, Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And we just see the way the Father sent the Son was to be the Savior of the world. His heart was for the world from the beginning. And I'm encouraged that it was the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. I love to send missionaries that way, to be able to live among an unreached people, among them, dwelling among them. That's how we love to do it.
Our guest today on Exploring Missions has been Colin and Becca. And you called her Rebecca one time, so I picked up on that.
That's
okay.
Right. That's right.
Now, is that like my mother when she called me by my full name, I knew I was in trouble?
It's a term of endearment with him.
Yes. Okay. That's good. I hope you've enjoyed being with us here today on Exploring Missions.
It's been a pleasure.
And thank you, guys. And we're praying that God would just bless African Inland Mission and just let God be glorified in it. Thank you guys for listening to Exploring Missions today. And be ready to go where God sends you. He may send you to the deepest, darkest parts of Africa.